Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors and guns and sometimes legislation and things that are going on around the region. Been a busy week. But we're here to take your phone calls today at 410-WCBM-680. That's 410-922-6680. If you have a question about fishing or hunting or anything in the outdoors, that would be great to hear. We learned this week that one of the first Maryland's to die from rabies is since the 70s, late 70s, occurred this past week or so. That was reported by the Maryland Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. No other details, no location or anything else about this person or what kind of wildlife they came in contact with, but we have listeners who are concerned about that and were emailing me prior to that event, and we've sent them some information on who deals with that type of subject. But today, right now, we're going to talk to our old friend Kirk in Baltimore. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, just barely, I think. But I should be right now down at Bud and Mary's, or I should at least be on the shoreline at Loch Raven. Instead, my carcass sits here, so.
Oh, man.
I have two questions for you.
Give it a shot.
Just wanted to have your opinion on these things. I received for Christmas gifts in 62 and 64, Mitchell 300s.
Oh, yeah, man.
I've used those two ever since. I've got at least a dozen other reels, but those are the two I've always used. How do you stack that reel up against the brand new spinning reels?
One of the finest reels ever made in the history of man. I don't know anybody who grew up in that era that did not have some type of a Mitchell reel. I have a couple of 300s, and I cherish them. My dad had I can't remember what the little 310, I believe, was the little ultralight.
308?
308, yep, 308. He had that, and he had a couple high-speed reels at that time, a little larger spinning reel that he used for saltwater fishing in Delaware Bay. And the thing about the Mitchell that always fascinated me was that the spool went in the wrong direction compared to all the other spinning reels of today. I don't know if you know that, or if you remember that or not.
No, I didn't, no.
Well, if you remember, the bail rotated, if you're holding the reel, the bail rotated to the right.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the other ones rotate to the left. And I took great advantage of that when I used to fish as a kid for bass in our sportsman's dam. I would toss a weightless cream 6-inch purple worm on a number 2 eagle claw hook, a snelled hook, on a swivel along the edges of the weed line. And as I brought it back and that spool rotated, I would put my index finger out. You know, you hold the reel between your fingers. I'd put my index finger out, and every time the line would rotate, it would bump my finger, and it would cause that plastic worm to just bump, just that little bit every time I turned the reel, however much line that reel brought in at one time, whether it was 15 inches or whatever it was, but that little worm would bump and vibrate and pop every time I'd hit that line. And I found that, in my own estimation, I thought that was a strike trigger when I would do that. And caught a lot of bass and had a lot of fun. But, yeah, that 300 Mitchell, man, that was my first spinning reel. I started out with closed face. I started out with a Bronson?
A Zebco?
No, a Bronson, I believe, was a gold and burgundy reel, rod and reel combination, that the reel was actually an integral part of the rod. That's all I can remember about it. It was gold and burgundy, and I don't remember if the trigger was on top of the rod or how that all worked. But that's how I started out with that, and then moved to the, when I started in the spinning, the Mitchell 300. And yeah, it, I could take it out of the box today and fish with it. I mean, I could take it out of the, it's in the cabinet right now, and fish with it with no problem whatsoever.
So you,
I mean, the drag was great. The spool popped off. You could easily, you know, refill it. The anti-reverse was on the bottom of the reel, and you could flip that, you know, pretty quick. The only problem you had with the Mitchell 300 universally was the bail spring. That thing was annoying sometimes, but I'll tell you what, it's still a very, very good reel.
Yeah, I just, I take it out of, I have them in a leather, each one a leather case. I take it out and just, I don't know, because I'm crazy that way, and I think back on all the days that I spent with those.
Sure.
That's, I don't know. I shouldn't be like that, I guess, but I.
Hey, man, look.
But I am.
you know, you got to do what you got to do, man. That's all I got to say. I just.
And the other question I have for you, I noticed that I didn't get to fish the white marlin open, but I noticed that there was no blue marlin. They qualified. And I've been, I consider it a privilege. It's three times in my life that I've been in the chair when a grander came along. Never landed one, but I was able to feel that, boy, they just push against that, slam you against that harness, and you feel the power of that fish when he shakes his head and whatever. What do you feel is the future of the blue marlin and the bluefin tuna?
That's a difficult question because it's probably, those two are probably the most regulated species in the sea, especially the bluefin tuna. I think we're going to be okay on the tuna. As far as the big blue marlin, we'll always have them. Will they always be catchable or abundant? That I don't know. You know, they're going to be in far-flung waters. Of course, you know, they're available in the tropics. They're available, you know, in the southern hemisphere as well as, you know, in the Pacific, certain areas. Well, you know what I'm saying. They're just far-flung. They're certainly not common off the Atlantic coast anymore. But, if I had that kind of vision to see into the future, Kirk, I'd know what the Powerball numbers were tonight.
So you think that to go after them anymore, tomorrow you'd have to go to the exotic place.
Well, you know, you may hook up in Ocean City, but it's going to be or off the Atlantic coast, but it's going to be just a chance. It's just going to be, as it's always been.
Yeah. It's a shame that they've declined to that degree, and that things can't be done to protect something.
I think with catch and release, I think, you know, there's a, you don't see them strung up on the docks anymore like you used to see, and you know a lot of the guys are understanding the whole fragile ecosystem out there, and you know, of course, we have those who don't care, and it, you know, the bycatch of the longline tuna fishermen is certainly an inclusive part of that. But other than that, I really can't speak to their numbers because it's not something I focused on. So,
listen, I'm glad I had a chance to talk with you, and as always, we're listening to you.
I appreciate that, man. Yes,
all
sir.
Right.
All right.
Take care.
Be well. Thank you, Kirk. Bye-bye. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Let's see. Waiting for the next call here. I'm checking my email. It takes a minute for it to load. You know, I've got some stuff there. But while we're waiting, you may have heard that the president of the Maryland Watermen's Association, longtime advocate for watermen in Chesapeake Bay, Larry Sims, died 2 mornings ago at 7 a.m. It was Thursday morning. And according to the Baltimore Sun, an article by Kerry Wells, he founded and led the Maryland Watermen's Association for 4 decades. He was a key influence on efforts to reduce pollution in the Chesapeake Bay. And Larry was 75. I last saw Larry a year ago at an event sponsored by the Department of Natural Resources in Annapolis. Now, Mr. Sims grew up on the Eastern Shore fishing in the fishing village of Rock Hall. He was the public face of watermen. He saw their once heavy catches of blue crabs and oysters become ever lighter as pollution crept into the bay. In the 1970s, he met with then-Senator Charles Mack Mathias of Maryland, who was on a mission to examine the bay's environmental condition. Mathias's study ultimately led to multi-state and federal efforts to preserve the bay. Tom Horton, former Baltimore Sun reporter, who's written 8 books about the Chesapeake Bay, says Larry's not just a guy who fished for crabs and oysters. He was, to his core, a waterman, but he was able to transcend that and work with the state and environmental groups on bay restoration efforts. So that article's in the Sun online if you'd like to read that, and you can Google Larry Sims, S-I-M-N-S, and certainly our thoughts and prayers are with the family of Larry, and hope that he had a peaceful passing. So, just, you know, let's see, there we go. Let's see if I can find this rabies story. It wasn't much to it. They're being very closed mouth about it. The Department of Health and Mental Hygiene has confirmed the death of a Maryland adult from rabies. This is the state's first case of human rabies since 1976. It is not yet known how the person was exposed to the rabies virus. Additional information will be released, will not be released. No additional information will be released to protect the privacy of the family. Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, in conjunction with clinicians and public health partners, is assessing the risk of rabies exposure in those who had direct contact with the individual. When people are exposed to rabies, it is usually because of a bite from an infected animal, not from contact with another person. Human rabies is prevented by administration of rabies vaccine and rabies immune globulin. Preventative treatment is only recommended for people with specific types of exposure to the saliva, the tears, the respiratory secretions, or fluid from the nervous system of an infected person. Over the past 10 years in the United States, an average of less than 5 human rabies cases have been diagnosed each year. Animals found infected with the virus include raccoons, foxes, skunks, bats, and other wild animals. Unvaccinated dogs and cats can also become infected. Maryland law requires all dogs, cats, and ferrets to be vaccinated against the rabies virus. Last year, 320 animals were detected in Maryland. Rabies can be prevented by reporting all animal bites, vaccinating your pets, and enjoying wildlife from a distance. Now, the lady who sent me the email found a dead raccoon in the middle of a trail in Baltimore County. Called animal control and said this animal seems to have died from no outside source. She checked back and the animal had disappeared. Now, we don't know if that animal had been picked up by animal control or not, but animal control is the one that does the testing on these animals. What you will see is, and particularly in raccoons, and I have seen this twice, including one about a week ago, in Caroline County, raccoons out in the middle of the daytime acting abnormally. No fear of man. They can sometimes appear disoriented. The one I saw in Caroline County, I had no way to dispatch it, but I called a friend and said, get down here with your shotgun and take care of this raccoon and don't touch it. And I don't know if he did or not. I never heard back from him. But he thanked me. He said, you know, my dogs will catch him and kill him. And I said, well, this one's definitely sick. So I've seen raccoons acting in that manner in Randallstown, near where I live. Raccoon walking around in circles in the middle of a road in the daytime, and this one on the Eastern Shore. So any animal that appears, wild animal that appears to be unafraid of you, or dazed and confused, that is the dumb display of rabies. There is another one, if you remember Old Yeller, there is the enraged display of rabies that seems to more affect canids than anything, foxes and the like, that they can become extremely aggressive and vicious. And people who are, you know, bitten by foxes are subject to the rabies shots. The rabies shots are extensive, they're painful, and they're not only extensive, there are a series of them, but they are painful and expensive. So, you know, the best thing to do is avoid any exposure to a wild animal like that. And, you know, things like feral cats and animals that wild animals that appear to be tame, just stay away from them. And if I remember when we first moved here 20-some years ago, a woman in Owings Mills was attacked by a groundhog and bitten. Later found to have rabies, and I'm pretty sure she underwent the vaccine and the treatment. And so it's out there, and it's out there this time of year. So just be careful if you're out in your garden. And that's that. Let's see. We'll welcome a new sponsor here for a little bit, Strut and Rut Archery in Cecil County in Elkton. You go up Route 40, and you go past 213, and you just keep going until you get past the Ford dealership up there and look for Staples on the left-hand side, a little coffee shop on the right, and that is Maloney Road. You make a turn into Maloney Road to the right, and they're just immediately on the left, and that's Strut and Rut Archery. Now, turkeys strut, of course, and whitetails rut. Now, to get you in the mood, Strut and Rut Archery has expanded and opened a new location in Elkton, Maryland. Strut and Rut Archery is open right now for business, but on Saturday, April 6th, it's the grand opening of the new Strut and Rut Archery. Jeff and Mary Adkins are down-to-earth people who are willing to share their knowledge and open their store to you. Now, if bow hunting is your passion, you need to get to know Strut and Rut, those of you on the Upper Shore. With a wide selection of compound bows and crossbows from the great manufacturers Matthews and Mission, Elite and Diamond, and all the accessories, you'll find the products and services you need for success. The Techno Hunt video target range allows you to shoot your equipment for off-season practice and leagues. Now, their expert pro staff can tune your bow or set up a new bow for you, for your spouse or for your kids. And Strut and Rut offers fishing tackle and crabbing gear, too. So on April 6th, stop by for the grand opening and open house of their new 4,000-square-foot facility right off Route 40 on Maloney Road in Elkton, across from Staples. Now, product representatives and pro staff will answer questions and conduct product demonstrations. There will be free refreshments, too. Visit the website, strutandrut, strutandrutarchery.com. For online purchasing, your new gear can be shipped directly to you. For business hours, again, visit strutandrutarchery.com or call 410-885-5058. That's 410-885-5058. Do you hunt, fish, or go crabbing? Get to know Strut and Rut. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg
Berg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, drive home with me, Sean Hannity, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6 here on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
It sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it could tell. Granddaddy's gun, he bought it new out of the Sears and Roebuck catalog, and it shot a mini shell over the top of an old bird dog. And it backed a burglar down when Grandma took the safety off Granddaddy's gun. It's just a double barrel 12. The stock is cracked and it kicks like...
There's a town hall meeting today for public comments on Maryland's firearms laws. It's from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. at the Parkton American Legion Hall. And if you would like to talk to your delegates, Almond, Saliga, Butler, Impalaria, McDonough, and Senator Jennings, and there have been other members of the General Assembly invited, Associated Gun Clubs, who we've had on the air, and the NRA and Maryland Shall Issue. This is a public service event open to all Maryland citizens. But this was sent out by Delegate Kathy Zaliga from her office in Annapolis. So if you have nothing to do this morning, or you'd like to find something to do this morning, head out there to the Parkton American Legion on York Road in Parkton, Maryland, 19520 York Road at the Parkton American Legion. And you may learn a lot from your delegates about the ongoing discussions in the House, the amendments that have been offered, and the number of folks in the General Assembly who are for and against the governor's attempt to ban a lot of firearms here. I was encouraged by Senator Ted Cruz's questioning of Senator Dianne Feinstein this week. A very interesting line of questioning. She got a little huffy about it. Statewide polling from Susquehanna shows that the more Maryland voters learn about the governor's laws, the less they like. By an overwhelming margin of 62% to 20%, or 3-1, voters say strengthening laws to keep firearms out of the hands of the mentally ill would be more effective at preventing future mass murders than prohibiting law-abiding citizens from owning common semi-automatic rifles, which the governor calls assault weapons. By an 88-6 margin, voters favor requiring convicted repeat criminal offenders who use guns in the commission of a crime to serve full prison sentences. The governor fails to support even these common-sense protections for our communities. Governor's laws do nothing to stop crime because they do nothing to stop hardened criminals or identify and treat those with dangerous mental illness. Good point. And now we've repealed the death penalty, by the way, just so you know. So anyone who goes on a rampage, and a murderous rampage, mentally ill or not, doesn't face any death penalty here in Maryland now, which is an interesting development, to say the least. Where are we here in this state? I mean, I just want to take the guns away from law-abiding citizens and take them away so they're unable to protect themselves, and then people who perpetrate dastardly crimes don't face the ultimate punishment. I'll tell you what, if I were a psychotic killer, I'd go to one of those 18 states like Maryland now that have suspended the death penalty, and, you know, even if I get caught, I'm going to spend my life in prison, which, you know, some people may not be bad. And by the way, if your loved one is in law enforcement, happens to be a guard in one of our prisons or warden, whatever they want to call them, deterrent now do these criminals have to worry about killing a guard in our prisons or each other? Hey, I'm in prison for life. What are you going to do to me? Kill me? No. So what changes? So why can't I do what I want? All right, we've gotten an email. We've gotten several emails and a phone call off the air about the Maryland patient who died of rabies. They did not get the disease from an animal, but rather an organ transplant done more than a year earlier. And that is from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. They announced that Friday morning. Rabies is a rare infection in the United States, 1 in 3 human cases per year. The Maryland Department of Health and Mental Hygiene began investigating the case after the patient died this month, and investigators identified the possibility of transplant-related transmission of rabies, which is extremely rare. The CDC confirmed to CBS News that the patient had underwent a kidney transplant. I am not aware, and somebody can help me out on this. I suspect that rabies can lie dormant in the human body without manifesting itself. I think I heard that, but I don't know. So maybe somebody who knows, maybe we have a doctor, somebody more familiar can help us out with that. But I just want to tell you, if you see an animal, a wild animal, acting strangely, stay away. And if you are bitten or come in contact with a wild animal or a feral animal or something like that, or your pets do, make sure your pets have their vaccinations. I think all my cats are up to date. Maybe not. But, that's something you don't want. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. By the way, Kirk, you have a fan out there, old John B. He loves when you call so he can walk down memory lane with you and I. That's pretty cool. So you have at least one fan out there. Email address is ellis@ellisoutdoors.com, and we know you're listening all across the country on your computers, and we hope that we're bringing you some information here. Coming up at the top of the hour, in the 6 o'clock hour, we'll have Susan Rivers here. Susan works at the Albert Powell Trout Hatchery in Western Maryland, and we will welcome her to talk about, you know, the upcoming trout season, stocking and, fish health and things like that. She has a lot of information, and she is an entomologist extraordinaire. So if you have any questions about insect life in the water, you turn over a rock in your favorite trout stream and 15 bugs go crawling in all directions, Susan can help you out with that. Also like to remind you again about the wild game dinner coming up next Saturday. This is at the Carroll County Ag Center, sponsored by the Calvary Bible Church in Westminster. 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., Dr. Bill Behrens is speaker. He's a former drill instructor, marine drill instructor, and a big game hunter. But if you'd like to go, they need a head count because seating is limited. The phone number is 410-440-2510, and it is a free event. So if you'd like to attend and eat some wild game and hear a good speaker, and you'll probably hear a message. you'll probably hear a spiritual message too. But they're giving away a Mossberg 500 and some other door prizes. So they do need a head count, and they would like you to RSVP to 410-440-2510. That's 410-440-2510. That's the number there. Tonight in Westminster is the Quality Deer Management Association banquet. There are spaces available. If you would like to go, you can walk in. It's on the VFW on Pool Road in Westminster. Not very difficult to get there. The menu's good. There are tremendous prizes on raffles and live auctions and silent auctions, tremendous prizes. And it's the 25th anniversary of the Quality Deer Management Association nationwide. And I'm the master of ceremonies. I'll be there to welcome all of you and enjoy a good meal with you if you'd like to come. As I said, you can walk in, and we hope that you do. Now, if we have somebody out there who would like to go but maybe can't afford a ticket, well, we've got one ticket left. Father and son, mother, daughter, mother, son, maybe a couple who would like to go. You're welcome to call Brian, our producer, and give him your number and tell him that you would like to go to the QDMA banquet tonight in Westminster, and we'll pick up your ticket. Actually, the folks from Buck Bomb will pick up your ticket for you, but we only have one available, so let's see how that works out. But you're welcome to join me. You're welcome to join me there tonight, and we're going to have some fun. I can tell you that. We're going to have a good time. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Apparently, I'm not striking a chord here with the folks today. I'm just telling them about events and offering my opinion, but I haven't stirred anybody's passion. What do we need to do to do that? How about the Bay Weekly newspaper I picked up this week? Shad are failing fish. Can you read that from in there, Brian? Pretty good-sized type. It's like 3,000 type style. Shad are failing fish. Yes, another emergency announcement brought to you by the Chesapeake Bay Foundation. Creating a crisis where there is none. It's pretty interesting that they name this Shad are failing fish. And then the writer, a lady by the name of Sandra Olivetti Martin, who's a Bay Weekly editor, talks about how she enjoys eating shad every year and how much it costs and likes to eat the roe. And then talks about the journey of the shad up through the Chesapeake Bay watershed and how much of a challenge it is. And then they talk about the recovery. You know, and we've talked about it here at length with some of the biologists from the Department of Natural Resources, and then we come to find out it's all big promotion for the Chesapeake Bay program, and you know, there's got to be some kind of crisis so they can raise some money, I guess. So there we go. Oh, look, there's Vince in Chestertown. Good morning, Vince. How are you?
How are you, Alan?
Save me from myself, man.
Well, first off, you always stir passion. It's just that people don't have the radios on yet.
Well, I'm here.
This is true.
I got to get up and be here.
Well, that's your passion. I don't have to tell you about everybody else.
Let me ask you, think I leap out of bed every Saturday morning and go, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy?
I think you probably toss and turn in your bed just waiting for the alarm to go off.
That has happened. Doesn't always happen. Sometimes I'm surprised, which is good.
I got a question for you. I have a friend of mine that was down on Plantation, Alabama, shooting quail.
Okay.
And he's brought some back to me. And, man, I'm looking for a decent recipe for him. I haven't had quail in a long while.
Okay.
Any suggestions?
Yeah, what kind of seasoning do you like?
I don't like real hot, no.
Okay, but I mean, you do like a little seasoning of some kind. Well, okay.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, well, I'll tell you what you could do. Just get a little Just get a little, if you want, just a little salt and pepper. Okay.
Okay.
Put on a plate, and I'm assuming these are these dressed quail?
Oh yeah, they're dressed.
They're not just breasted.
No, I believe they're dressed, right?
Oh, okay. I think then in that case I'd probably do them in a cooking bag.
A cooking bag.
Yeah, I'd probably do them in a cooking bag.
Okay.
And I think I'd do them in a cooking bag and, you know, put a few onions and carrots and some celery in there. I don't know if you want to actually stuff the bird, but, you know, you could throw a couple apples in the cavity if you want. Apples and onions is always good.
Do you think about 275?
Yeah, I think so.
Watch them?
Yep, watch them. And I think I'd baste them with butter, to be honest with you. Butter, salt, and pepper. I think that's all you need.
All right. Yep. I tell you, I haven't had quail since I was a real young guy, and I used to shoot them down around the farm. You know where Anne Arundel Community College is?
Oh, yeah.
When I was growing up, I used to pick strawberries at that rascal. And across from it, there were used to be all fields down by there, by the magazine and all, and it used to be full of quail. Of course, the quail have pretty much disappeared here in Maryland.
Yep.
I'm not sure why.
There are a number of reasons. You know, there's clean farming practices where these guys farm right to the edges of the property and have cleared out the hedgerows. That's one. We have one listener who calls and says that wild turkeys are responsible for some of it, that they'll actually eat the chicks. We have some people who claim that the predator population is out of control, foxes and coyotes, and not just that, predators from the air, too. You've got red-tailed hawks, and you've got, sharp-shinned hawks and Cooper's hawks that all both eat birds. So there are a variety of reasons. Some people claim it's a pesticide. I don't know what the total reason.
Sounds like the same reasons that caused the pheasants to disappear in PA.
Exactly right. Well, you know, creatures of they're creatures of the edge. They love those hedgerows, and when the hedgerows don't exist, there's no cover, and abundant predators. Well, you got problems.
Yeah, it's a shame.
And I don't know if that's the whole story, but you know that's part of it.
Well, I'm going to try that recipe. I think I may go for them tomorrow.
There you go. Well, you got to let me know.
See how it works. Yeah, I will. I'll let you know how it works.
Yep, let me know. And I don't know much about quail as far as the skin is concerned. I know I don't like it unnecessarily like goose skin, but I think the little thin skin quail is more like a Cornish game hen or something like that. So, you know, and there's the other thing. Why don't you look up a recipe for Cornish game hens?
Yeah.
Online too. I mean, you know, they're about the same size.
Yeah, I may have to try that. But I figured you, being a wild game Feliciano, that you would have a decent recipe up your sleeve.
A wild game Feliciano. Jose Feliciano.
No.
Feliz Navidad.
I don't think I said that right.
I'm not sure.
Oh, Lord. All right, Alex.
All right, brother.
Thanks for the tip.
All right, man. I hope so. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Goodbye, Vince. Time to tell you about Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They just came through their 10-day sale, and they are ready to rock and roll for fishing season. That fishing hotline is up and running. That phone number is 247-3474. That's 247-FISH. If you'd like to find out the latest local information on fishing around the region, you can call that number. And Clyde's Pork Shop is also getting ready for turkey season, too, coming up next month. They've got those fine Browning firearms. That BPS pump in camo is a good one to think about. Yes, sir. You can check all that information out on their website at clydessports.com or stop by the store. Again, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Or you can give them a call at 410-242-6108. That is Clyde's Sports Shop. Been around for a long time, 1957. Quite a feat. Hey, it's time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge, too. All you have to do is go fishing. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour, too. From now through Labor Day, just go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland Citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you are in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify for the challenge. Stop by your local fishing citation center, check the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2013 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Citation Fish Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov, and you can join John Resendez, Jr. of Arnold. He caught a 14-inch yellow perch in the Magothy. Or Ron Thomas of Ellicott City for a 14.5-inch yellow perch caught in the Magothy. Mike Lagana of Crapo, Maryland, for a 14-inch yellow perch caught in the Nanticoke. Steve Harris in Baltimore for a 24-inch chain pickerel caught at Beechwood Park on the Magothy. So all these guys are now eligible to win those great prizes in the Maryland Fishing Challenge, www.dnr.maryland.gov.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner.
The following is a paid announcement.
Governor O'Malley wants to enact laws that burden the right of self-defense for the law-abiding citizen. These restrictions will deny rights to those least able to afford them. The governor openly admits he wants to tax a civil right and make it a profit center for Maryland. The governor proposes laws that violate American values. His laws will not target criminals. His laws will only convert the lawful into criminals. The governor's penalties against law-abiding people will cause the loss of jobs, security clearances, and could even stop you from getting a mortgage. The governor's laws will subject active duty service members to prison time if they cannot register their firearms while serving overseas. They will subject young hunters to prison time for possessing common hunting ammunition. And you'll risk prison for not knowing to register a hunting firearm that the state previously approved you to own. Gun control helps no one. This message brought to you by Maryland citizens. Learn more at MarylandShallIssue.org.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Don't miss the best of Rush Limbaugh on Rush's Weekend Review every Saturday afternoon from 12 to 3 on the most powerful names in talk, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6 foot six and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John. Big Bad John. Nobody seemed to know where John called home. He just drifted into town and stayed all alone. He didn't say much, he kind of quiet and shy. And if you spoke at all, you just said hi to Big John. Somebody said he came from New Orleans, where he got in a fight over a Cajun queen, and a crashing blow from a huge right hand sent a Louisiana fella to the promised land, Big John.
Let's talk to Gary and Jessup. Good morning, Gary. How you doing?
Good morning, Alex. How you doing today?
Good, man. What's up?
Yeah, I want to tell you, you have a fantastic show. I drive a truck, so Saturday morning is my start of the shift of the week.
Gotcha.
And I really enjoy what time I have to listen to you.
Well, I appreciate that. We give it a shot anyway.
Well, you do one heck of a job.
What's on your mind there, brother?
Real quick, I don't have a boat, so I fish a lot offshore, which that's the way it is. But I was fishing in the Havre de Grace area a lot, which I have a lot of tall grass. Now, I'm trying to find out something here. I know I do a lot of bottom fishing, so I can bring my line up off the bottom. But somebody was saying you could put an inline bobber in your line off of that to keep the bait up out of the grass. Is there a rig known to mankind that has that? Is there a name for it or not?
An inline bobber to keep your fish.
Keep it up out of the grass. No, they said paint it dark.
Well, yeah. I don't know what kind of. Are you using live bait? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
I know there are things out there like floating jig heads. I don't know if you've ever seen those.
No, I didn't.
But you can rig them on a three-way swivel if you want. Put your weight on one of the eyes and put a leader on and rig that. You put your floating jig head on a leader, and then you go from line to swivel, to weight, line, swivel to leader to floating jig head. You can do that.
Okay, so that's what a floating jig head is called, right?
A floating jig head, yeah, and most of the stores have those. And there are other ways that you can, I wouldn't go with necessarily one of these, bobber-type bobbers, but there are ways that you can bring that bait up off the bottom, and that'd be one of the easiest ways. And that way if you get a little drift or a little current, you've only got the weight on the bottom and your bait's up above the grass a little bit. Does it make sense?
Yes, that makes sense. Like I said, I didn't know if there was a jig or not or whatever. I mean, I didn't know there was a name, but now I know that.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you one thing. Thank you very much. You make my Saturday morning so enjoyable. Driving a truck, listening to you talking, because my dad hunted. God rest his soul, he's gone, but we hunted. He taught me everything I know about guns and safety.
There you go.
He was great.
But I'll tell you, there's a tackle shop there in Havre de Grace, but any of the guys like Tochterman's or Clyde Sports Shop can help you out with that. They may have a better suggestion than I do. There are little bobbers that you can, run a line through and then tie your hook on the end, that type of thing. You just don't want to clip on bobbers. You want something that's going to be a little easier to use than that. So.
Yes, by the way, thank you for the great news on Clyde. I went down and got all 8 of my reels spun up last week.
Oh, there you go. Good for you.
Well, thank you very much.
I hope you told him you heard about it on the Outdoorsman radio show.
I called him up. I said, I want to come in Sunday. I didn't make it. I said, I heard it on Alice Outdoors. He goes, yes. And then I said, well, I'm going to be in there Monday morning. Me and my wife's getting into fishing now. I can't get her into hunting, but she's into fishing too. I got her own rod and reel and stuff now. She wants to go with me because just me and her, we're under kids.
Yeah,
and me and her enjoy every. I get 3 days off a week, so
there you go.
We can go, but I want to thank you very much for a great show. You really, really make it really nice.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate it, buddy.
Have a great day.
Drive safely. Take care. Bye bye. There we go. Let's talk to Walt in Catonsville. Good morning, Walt.
Good morning, Alan.
How are you?
Oh, good.
What's up?
Back in the day when I used to hunt, I was also a Feliciano.
Where are you really a Feliciano?
Yeah.
Okay.
I hunted doll sheep.
Okay.
And,
you didn't hunt the smart ones? You just hunted the doll ones?
Yeah, just the doll ones.
Uh-huh, okay.
But then, after you skun them, I figured I was a Feliciano.
Okay.
Yeah, well,
how long? Man.
From what are you
It's
calling?
Way too early.
Okay.
It's way too
early. Okay, I get up early in the morning all the time. And I enjoy your show. Also, the rod that you used was silverish brown. I used one also, and it had a name. When I was a kid, I was about 14, I guess. My dad used to take me fishing, and I could outcast everybody.
Oh, yeah. It was a Ronson or a Bronson. It had a closed face spinning reel. The drag was a big thing, big knob in the center of the spool. And
yeah.
If I remember right, the button was on the top.
Yeah, it was on the top.
In the rod. Yes?
And it would cast
a mile. I know.
What did you name yours?
I didn't name my fishing rods or reels anything.
Mine was the Bomber. Because I could put a half ounce on it, and it seemed like I could cast it. I would outcast everybody.
The Bomber.
The Bomber. And I can't say I caught a million fish with it, but I can say I caught hundreds with it.
There you go. The Bomber.
Yeah, that was a terrific time in life. And also, I was using that the same time Roland Martin was coming up on, he was growing his skills on.
I don't know.
Lochraven Reservoir.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I talked to Roland one time, and he said, you know, they were doing a lot of construction on Lochraven. And he said, we had our trolling motors on our boats, and he said our batteries weren't very good. So in the morning, we'd stop by the local equipment and take the battery out of one of the bulldozers and run our trolling motors all day long. And at the end of the day, we'd put the battery back.
Yeah, I can't say that I ever saw him on the lake, but I know our timeline was right about the same.
Yeah, here's what it was. It was a Bronson, B-R-O-N-S-O-N. Bronson 63, it came out in 1961, so that, and it was burgundy and gold, like I said, and the trigger was on the back of it was actually on the top of the rod, above the reel handle, big drag button in the center of it, yep.
So, memories, eh?
Yep, they called it the Bronson 63.
Thank you, Aaron. Thanks for all your help and telling me when the crappie were starting last week.
Yeah, did you go out?
I haven't, but I got a report that I'm a little bit late, but I'm going to try.
The water temperature is still pretty cool, so you'll be all right.
All right, thank you very much, Aaron.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Walt. See ya. Well, there we go for the end of the first hour. 1961. I was younger, and that's what we